about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. On the surface, I had to look positive. I was smiling, I was laughing along with it, but inside, I felt degraded and humiliated, especially.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And that's the story. There's nothing strange nor mysterious about menstruation. All life is built on cycles. And the menstrual cycle is one normal and natural part of nature's eternal plan for passing on the gift of life.
I'll never forget what my grandmother said right before she passed away, what she said to me right before she passed away. She said, "What are you doing?"
That's easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. I struggled through that sentence.
You're on. You're on the air right now. You're on.
What it is this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I just found out I have Asperger's syndrome.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh my God! They killed Kenny!
Roll another one.
This is supposed to be a party,
girl! Just like the other one.
You see that? I mean, there's no penetration.
It seems to be about to quit.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott?
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
He's like the gayest person I've ever met.
Roll another one.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be a mountain. I don't have another cent.
I'm gonna cut off your skin and wear it as a coat.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
Is there really a more clear way to describe white pants?
Just pass it around.
I know nothing about nothing.
And now,
why can't I reach the 5050s apartment?
Our feature presentation. It's a good question. Why can't he reach it?
That dude was gold. But did that turn out to be fake, too? Do we know?
I don't think so. Not we never found heard that of. It was.
We put up so many videos, we get so much response that doesn't specify exactly what they're talking about. But there was a video that Jimmy had dummied up. That was the girl that caught her pants on fire.
Right.
But yes. That one, I think, that guy yelling. Customer service is all real.
It felt real.
And all good.
I can feel his rage.
Yeah. Ralph Garman, how are things in Philadelphia?
Well, not as good as they could be.
Well, your team didn't necessarily win technically.
No, not technically. It was a moral victory. It was a moral victory.
How was it a moral victory?
Because surprising to everyone, nobody in the stadium booed Andy Reid when he was announced.
Oh, really?
Or Donovan McNabb when he had his number retired at halftime. So a rare show of class from the Philadelphia Eagles fans.
You don't
last night.
Get that very often.
No, usually they boo everyone for everything. But Andy got a standing ovation when he came out on the field at the beginning of the game as the announcer on the loudspeaker said thanks to Andy for 14 years of wonderful
that?
Service. Welcome him back to Philadelphia. Everybody stood for him and applauded. And then Donovan got his number retired at halftime, and everyone gave him a rousing ovation. And I was shocked. I was surprised. In that sense, it was a moral victory.
I heard some sports radio talking about Donovan McNabb and how he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I think that's sort of true.
I think it is, too. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Not Hall of Fame, but in Philadelphia, they retired his number.
Well, he's got the record for almost every quarterback record in franchise history. You know, most yards, most wins. I mean, you just go down the line, and it's just McNabb is the most successful quarterback ever in the history of the Eagles franchise. So it makes sense that they would retire his number and give him, in their own personal Hall of Fame, give him a little nod.
And they all gave him a standing ovation when
he it was at halftime. Everybody stayed in their seats for halftime, and they had a rousing ceremony there, and he talked a little bit to the crowd, and it was very nice.
I was looking on Twitter last night, and I saw some people going, "You're all right, Ralph? You okay, Ralph?"
I was telling Beer Mug earlier this morning, it's so much easier to lose when you're down there partying with everybody, and I was with my friends, and we just had a blast, and, you know, it still sucks, but it's much worse to be sitting at home watching television by yourself when there
right.
was.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. So,
we had a great time last night.
You're usually not drinking. You're usually just hanging out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was good to be back back in the old hometown with my friends.
You going to make it through the show today? You going to nod off? What's your story on that?
Oh, if you hear some snoring, have someone here in Philadelphia just give me a nudge.
Okay.
Because I did not get much sleep last night.
All right.
I will try my best, sir.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean, shall we?
Okay.
Kevin and Bean.
Right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean.
Mary McNamara is going to be on the program today. She is the LA Times TV critic. She's going to be talking about the Emmys, which are Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear some of the new Armenian comedian podcast.
Oh,
yes.
That'll keep you awake, Ralph.
That will. Now I'm going to stay tuned in.
He comes into the studio and Omar sits in there with him for about an hour and just taunts him, and they just have a great time. They were doing prank calls, everything. So we're going to give you some highlights of that. You lost this week because of Grand Theft Auto, or you lost perhaps a boyfriend because you made the dumb decision of saying, it's me or the game. And the dude said, hey.
I don't know that she made a dumb choice.
It's the game. Well, if she's
was
with
it that big a loss? Really?
No, well,
let's think about that.
Okay, that's a good point. Cousin Sal will be here.
Any girl who would make that ultimatum is, you know, be questioning in the first
place.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
Cousin Sal will be here with his NFL picks for the weekend.
Okay.
We've got a brand new internet roundup. We've got actor, director, writer Kevin Smith coming into the studio.
Mm-hmm.
We have the movie beat. As it is Friday, Ralph will tell you what new movies are in the theaters. We'll take a break. We will come back. Ralph will do the showbiz beat from Philadelphia. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 551. Ralph Garman is here for our first look at the showbiz beat on a Friday morning.
Before I get to the beat, how would you like to see Jane's Addiction at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino? Sure, wait, I'm not done yet. How about special guest Portugal, the man, plus Jane's Addiction? Altogether, one terrific show. It's happening at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on October the 24th. It's hard to believe Halloween is like 4 minutes away.
Yes, it is.
Man. Anyway, tickets go on sale today at 11 a.m., but if you would rather go for nothing, I've got tickets to give away right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers through at that phone number will get tickets to see Jane's Addiction and Portugal the Man at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino.
That's a good show.
It is a good show. There may be a good reason that Liam Hemsworth called off his engagement to Miley Cyrus. It's probably his new girlfriend. I'm guessing that would be a pretty good reason.
He found an actual girl?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Boy, is she hot.
Yeah.
Photographers caught him making out with a beautiful Latina actress and singer named Aiza Gonzalez outside her Beverly Hills apartment last Tuesday.
I already love her. I don't know what she looks like.
Trust me, when you look her up,
yeah.
It's E-I-Z-A Gonzalez. You can find her online, and she's just she's stunning. It's definitely an upgrade for Liam. And at no time have I seen any photos of Aiza Gonzalez with her tongue hanging out like a giant llama.
Yeah.
Never seen that. Never seen her twerk. Seems like it's a good move. Forbes magazine once again has released another list to make us all feel bad about who's the highest paid.
Okay.
This week, it's the highest paid celebrity couple by Forbes magazine.
You're convinced that that's all Forbes does now, right? There's no articles.
I don't believe it's any magazine anymore. They just released a list a week. This is the celebrity couple that combined has pulled in the most money over the past year. Now, mm-hmm. keep in mind, this is the top five. This is what the couple has made over the past year.
Okay.
To make you feel bad with you and your significant other. Fifth, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. Together, $30 million.
Just in the 1 year.
In the past year, that's what they
probably made that the year before as well.
Easily, yeah.
Okay.
Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, number four on the list, $35 million.
Yeah.
She balances him out. I love her, so yeah, I'm fine with them.
She's terrific.
Yeah.
Although he's making all that kind of money over it.
Yeah, he is.
Two and a Half Men. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
That was my guess for number one.
No, third on the list with $50 million.
Still not bad.
Second on the list, it's kind of a cheat because I guess they are celebrities, but he is not an actor or a performer in any sense. Gisele Bündchen and Tom Brady. $80 million is what
wow.
they made last year. That's a good year.
1 year.
Right? When you're slapping that, when you're filling out your your tax forms in April and you can write $80 million in
the
box.
You just look at that and you go, you know what? I could pretty much make that last for the rest of my life.
I'm done now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 year.
If I'm Tom Brady, say, you know what I don't need anymore? A giant black man trying to tear my head off and knock me to the ground.
In Eagles uniforms.
Yes.
Yeah.
And number one, any guess on number one couple? Richest couple?
Homer and Marge Simpson?
Homer and Marge. Well done, Kevin.
Thank you.
No, Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Of course.
That's a death.
$95 million
wow.
this past
what?
Year.
Wow.
$95 million in a year.
Yeah. Wow.
It takes me 2-3 years to make that.
You don't make
and
that.
There they are. Make
you're
it
not
going to
make that in your lifetime.
Man, how dare you, sir?
You're not.
You don't wait. Just wait. Just wait till I get signed to star as Johnny Carson in the Johnny Carson miniseries.
Is that happening?
It's happening. NBC is putting a biopic together of the legendary host of The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson. They're going to do a miniseries based on his life.
Let's hear your Johnny.
It was so cold in Burbank today. That Doc Severinsen had his trumpet up his butt.
I don't even know what that joke means.
You're
but,
in.
Yeah, it's going to be called. It's based on a book called Carson the Magnificent, a story about his life that's written by a great biographer named Bill Zame. And it's going to be, of course, about his 30 years on late night TV, but also his childhood and how he grew up. And there's no word on who will play Johnny yet, but I am throwing my hat in the ring.
Right. Sarah Abramson.
It was so cold in New York City today that the Statue of Liberty had her torch up her dress. Hey-o!
Right, that one we can understand.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Kanye West is a dick.
In other news.
In other news.
Why? What did he do now?
No, in the UK tabloid The Daily Mail, they talk about how he was all set to appear on a British television show.
Yes.
But then came his demands. He demanded that the set of the TV show be rebuilt.
What?
Yes. Didn't like the set. Wanted them to tear it down and build it to his specifications.
This is a set that they use on a nightly basis?
Yes, this is the TV show set.
What the hell?
He wanted everything in his dressing room, including the walls, to be white, so he wanted the walls to be repainted. And there were 15 dressing rooms backstage at the studio where they were shooting it. He demanded 8 of them. Despite the fact that Kings of Leon and Sting were also on the bill in that same show.
Wow.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
Then the strangest demand of all was in regard to the carpet in the hallways of the studio. He demanded that the carpet be ironed. He didn't like the way the carpet looked. And they wanted someone to get down on their hands and knees with an iron and iron it.
Look, I know he's an a-hole, but is it possible he just didn't want to do the show?
I think it's very possible.
So they just all sat around and went, yeah, iron the carpet. That's a good one. Put that in there.
Kanye also reportedly said he doesn't do boats. I don't even know what that means, but apparently he does not want to be on that show.
Is that right?
That's what I understand.
Weird.
Hey, E! Network did something reasonable for a change. They have pulled the plug on their reality show, What Would Ryan Lochte Do?
Oh, man, is that guy a zero?
Yeah, I think even
he.
if you lack talent so much that even E won't put you on television, you know you're a zero. It was just one season of the horrible reality show starring Ryan Lochte, and they decided that was enough.
It's so funny. You see guys like that, and you go, wow, that guy is, you know, heroic, and he's one of the greatest swimmers of all time and represents America proudly. And then you see he's just a black hole of personality.
Yeah.
Everybody else gets more dull just for being around him.
Yeah, not everybody needs a TV show.
Right.
That's what it turns out to be. Speaking of which, you know, here in Philadelphia, I was watching this morning, it's that guy. Do you remember the interview that guy, the local Philadelphia TV guy, did with Ryan Lochte where he was just mocking him out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was on this morning. I was watching him. I said, I remember that interview where he was just destroying him. Made me laugh so
oh,
hard.
Oh, my God.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were all born on today, September the 20th. Actress Sophia Loren, one of the great screen beauties at one time, is 79 years old today. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun and Austin Powers, 46 years old. John Bernthal played Shane on The Walking Dead. He is 37 years old. Bassist Ben Shepherd of Soundgarden is 45. And Gunnar and Matthew Nelson of Nelson.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! Nelson!
That's a poor man's Bon Jovi.
Oh.
Great tune.
The Nelson boys are 46 years old today. Gary Cole, one of my favorite actors, turns 57. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 6 o'clock. We have the movie beat coming up in a couple of seconds because it is Friday. But first, this, you know how they say life can be stranger than fiction?
Mm-hmm.
This is happening in Iowa. Iowa law enforcement officials are debating the wisdom of granting gun permits to blind people.
That's actually a debate they're having?
Yeah. It's a debate that they're having while blind people are able to get guns. They're not waiting to decide till the end of the debate. It's happening.
Wow.
The Des Moines Register reports that Iowa law does not allow sheriffs to deny a permit to carry a gun in public based on physical ability.
You're going to have to start doing the Marine crawl through Iowa.
You really are. This is crazy.
Jane
Hudson with Disability Rights Iowa said keeping legally blind people from obtaining weapon permits could violate the American with Disabilities Act.
Well, it depends on the disability.
Well,
doesn't it?
People that are blind.
It's not a blanket.
That's where you're wrong. People that are blind are now allowed guns in Iowa. And that seems like a terrible idea. So we had Dave, the King of Mexico, get us a spokesman. It's Kyle Murphy. And he's from the organization BIG. Hello, Kyle.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
We're good. How are you? What is BIG?
BIG is Blind Iowans for Guns. That's our organization.
Blind
organization.
Iowans. What? Blind Iowans for Guns?
Iowans.
Iowans.
That's what we call those of us from Iowa.
I see. And
Iowans.
And are you blind, sir?
I am indeed blind, sir. Yes. Thank you very kindly.
And what?
But you don't
are
have
you
a,
shooting guns?
You have a gun with you?
I heard something over there.
Over where? What? Do
you... Who's there? Anybody there?
What's happening?
Hello? I heard somebody.
Well,
but you shouldn't just be shooting indiscriminately.
What if they are meaning me bodily harm, sir?
What if they aren't?
Well, I guess we'll have to let God sort that out.
How long? What? Whoa.
I'm calling in the dog.
How many weapons do you have?
I have as many as I want, young lady.
All right.
But how many do you need?
Well, let's see. I got two arms.
Right.
And so I guess I need two.
Two.
But I got more than that.
Near that. So why do you assume everyone is out to get you?
Because some of them are, and it's hard to tell who is and who isn't because I'm blind.
Wow, that sounded like a machine gun.
No, that's just the wife coming home.
That's how she lets you know she's in the driveway?
She's also blind and also has many guns.
This seems like this could go terribly south. This seems
I guess you would like to have me have no rights, sir. Is that what eventually you'd like to have blind people not be able to have any of the rights guaranteed to us by the Constitution?
I would like you to have all the rights that you can handle.
Well, how about the Second Amendment, sir? How do you feel about that?
Not that good.
I guess I like it. It seems bad, though.
You do now, see?
It seems like perhaps you could injure people without... Do you have kids?
Like, I do have children,
okay.
Yes.
It seems like somebody could get hurt badly, maybe dead, if you're shooting the thing around the house.
That's ridiculous. My children have learned how to duck and dodge.
But why
are
your...
They're very nimble. They're very nimble children.
Why do your kids have to constantly hit the ground because you want a gun?
Because it's a tough world out there. What am I going to do? Just coddle them? Make them soft?
Well, no, but you don't have to shoot a weapon at them.
Well, if I'm walking down the street and as someone knows that I'm blind, doesn't that make me an easy target for crime? I'm not an easy target when I'm doing this.
Wow. That's a serious weapon.
On the plus side, now I have spelled something out lovely in Braille on my wall. I can read it.
Ralph Garman is here, live from Philadelphia.
Yes.
To take a look at the movies that are coming out this weekend.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
One of the big stories in movies this weekend, believe it or not, is a movie that was made in 1939. The Wizard of Oz returns to the big screen this weekend in limited release for a short time on IMAX screens throughout the Southland in 3D. I was just thinking, what a cool thing this would be if your kid has never seen Wizard of Oz before, to be able to take them to see it on the big screen, first of all, and then in 3D.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
A very cool way to introduce them to this classic family film. Judy Garland, of course, stars, Ray Bolger, Burt Lahr. You know the film, and by all accounts, this new print is just amazing. So if you have a kid, I was thinking, you know, Olivia, she's just a little bit too shy.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they're too young, though, you scare the hell out of them.
Yes, that witch is really horrifying.
Scary.
And there's houses falling on people, and it's just, there's a lot of nightmares waiting to be had in this film if your kid's too young. But if they're, you know, 9, 10, right in that pocket, it could be a good time. So you may want to check that out. Also opening up this weekend in limited release is a documentary called Generation Iron. We had the director and the producer on yesterday talking about this film. Kevin says that they're gross. Bottom bills are gross.
I'm a little bit gay.
It's a little bit gay.
How dare you?
They will not fit on the party bus. It is the story of the men who are competing to get the title of Mr. Olympia in the competition. Seven of the top bodybuilders in the world training and competing in the Mr. Olympia competition. Arnold Schwarzenegger shows up, makes an appearance. Mickey Rourke is the narrator of this film. Here are some clips from the trailer of Generation Iron.
We're the meatheads. We're the idiots. We're able to do something that 99.8% of the people on the earth can do, which is lose fat and gain muscle at the same time.
People go, oh, steroids. And nobody can do that. Like, it's not easy to do. People don't respect it. Like, oh, I can do that with steroids. No, you couldn't. Oh, you couldn't. You couldn't do what I do.
My physique that I bring to the Olympia this year, it's not the product of 3 months of hard work, it's the product of over 20 years of hard work.
I didn't understand a word that last guy said.
20 years of hard work. But you're gross. You're gross hard work.
Maybe also, I said that to those guys when they were in the studio, but
maybe
they,
you did.
They thought it was funny.
Maybe you did. Or you definitely did.
Well, I mean, maybe I did, but I'm saying they thought it was funny if I did.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Also, this weekend, this is bittersweet. James Gandolfini in his last performance in a feature film, Enough Said, comes out this weekend. This movie looks great, by the way. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, James Gandolfini, Catherine Keener, Toni Collette, a great cast. Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays a divorced woman who decides to pursue a man she's interested in, but then she learns that her brand new friend is this guy's ex-wife. So she's got the new friend telling her all horrible things about her ex-husband and turns out to be the guy she is currently dating.
Sweet.
Enough Said is the name of the film. Here's a really sweet scene between James Gandolfini and Julia Louis-Dreyfus where he introduces her to his daughter.
So nice to have met you.
You too.
Yeah. Great. Bye.
She has a lot of friends.
You think they have threesomes?
What? Like, why would you say that?
I know, but apparently it's what they're doing these days. That's what I heard.
Oh, my God.
Right? I'm afraid that window's closed.
There was a window?
There was a window for that? Gandolfini. Ah, what a loss. Also opening up this week in a limited release, Thanks for Sharing. This is a romantic comedy with an odd subject matter. It's about people with sex addiction trying to face the challenge of sex addiction and also have relationships. Mark Ruffalo stars in this film. Tim Robbins plays his sponsor in his sex addiction recovery program. Gwyneth Paltrow is Ruffalo's girlfriend. He's trying to start a relationship up with her. Josh Gad is in this film. And Pink also has a lead role in this film, believe it or not. Here's a scene where Gwyneth Paltrow and Mark Ruffalo are talking about their problem.
Sex was like this, this secretive chase for a fix, right? And now it's really hard for me to connect that to something that's loving and...
What?
I don't know if I can do this.
Why? Why not? What do you mean? We can do it. We just have to do the work.
Do the work? Adam, we just met. I mean... This is crazy. We should be in the honeymoon phase.
What do you mean, honeymoon? Where do you get that from? What, did you read that in a book?
Okay, that part wasn't funny.
That's not a good clip.
But there are other parts that are comedy in this film, although it does look a little odd.
I've always thought, what a great place to meet somebody at a sex addiction place, because you know they're hooked on sex.
And you know a lot of people do that.
Right? So you could go to the meetings. Am I right?
No, Kevin, I think you're missing the whole point. Battle of the Year opens up this weekend. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's the dance battle from the best dance teams all around the world. They get together. But Americans, man, they haven't won in 15 years. So they have to assemble the team of best dancers to bring the trophy back to America where it belongs. Josh Holloway of Lost fame, who played Sawyer, is the star of this film. He's the coach of the dance team.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And girlfriend beater Chris Brown also stars in this film. This looks like maybe the worst movie of the year, if an award could be given. Here's some clips from the trailer of Battle of the Year.
An American crew hasn't won a battle in the last 15 years.
Our kids were the best, but now we got to do something extreme to get back on top.
I want you to coach my crew.
I was a basketball coach.
I'll smoke you.
Here we go, here we go.
It's enough.
You cut one of our best B-boys.
He was the best.
These are not the same guys that walked through your door that first day.
How's it feel to be a team?
Damn good, coach.
Make that stage ours.
It's really only one thing left to do.
Let's bring that trophy back for America.
Yeah. Come on. That's right. Woo! Woo! Kill me.
I may see that.
Yeah, of course you will. Prisoners opens this weekend. Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. About two young girls who go missing, and then a man, Hugh Jackman, who takes matters into his own hands as police pursue multiple leads and the pressure mounts. But the question ends up being, how far will this guy go to protect his family? This movie looks intense. Here's some clips from the trailer.
I'm going to find your daughter.
You put those girls somewhere else.
No. I know you put those girls somewhere.
Well, this thing's clean. I'd start looking in the woods by the rest stop.
They're letting him go today.
Day six. And every day, she's wondering why I'm not there.
What in the world did you do?
Someone has to make him talk, or they're gonna die.
We're not gonna help Keller, but we won't stop him either. Let him do what he needs to.
I know you know where they are.
Where's my daughter?
Holy cow.
Yeah. Remember how I said if you have kids, you want to go see Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
If you have kids, you may not want to go see Prisoners. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
And lastly, in limited release, it will open wide later on this month on the 27th. Rush is in theaters this weekend. Ron Howard directs. Daniel Brühl and Chris Hemsworth star as two competing Formula One racers, James Hunt and Niki Lauda. I don't like you, Niki. I don't know James Lauda. You can hear these. This is a great clip. Chris Hemsworth talking trash to another racer before a big Formula One race.
It was my line. I had that corner.
Do you mean the one that you spun out of and finished facing the other way? I think that corner had you.
That move was total suicide. What if I hadn't braked? We'd have crashed.
Well, no, but we didn't, did we? Thanks to your impeccable survival instincts.
What's your name?
It's very simple. Hunt. It rhymes with a word that happened to describe you perfectly. Who is that? I have no idea. He looks like a rat, doesn't he?
Oh, snap! Yeah, it looks great. That's my pick for the weekend. But if you can't find it this weekend, it will be in wider release on the 27th. You can check it out then. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman's movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:36. I'm sorry, I should say the head judge and Bean Show.
Oh, jeez.
What happened?
Let it go, man.
You think I have the ability to have people killed?
As head judge?
Yeah.
Well, you won't have to. It's the Flutog. They're halfway there already as they're plummeting into the icy waters of the harbor.
The Red Bull Flutog is happening this weekend at Long Beach's Rainbow Harbor. Actually, it's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And people make homemade flying machines. And then they go off a pier, like 30 feet high. And most of them don't fly.
And therein lies the fun.
Most of them.
And you judge them on creativity, showmanship, and distance. So distance is almost always a zero.
Right.
I've been to this event before. It's good fun. It's free to everybody if you want to show up.
No, it is a good time, yes.
Hangars open at 10. First flight, they should put that in quotes, flight at noon. And there's 32 teams with five pilots. They call them pilots, which really are just fallers. They just fall.
There's just some five people into it.
But I'm the head judge. And it's funny because, A, I shouldn't be the head judge. And B, they added David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Now, this is like a rematch.
David Hasselhoff doesn't like us.
Just a little history.
Well, you especially.
Specifically me. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. You remember when he was eating the cheeseburger on the floor in Vegas?
His daughter was filming him with a video camera.
And that video was played ad nauseum. It was everywhere. You couldn't go on the internet. You couldn't watch any of the entertainment shows without hearing this.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
Okay, so that was everywhere. And then
the Hoff loves to rock.
And then the Hoff called and tried to get tickets to Coachella. And then he called afterwards to be funny and was talking to us about Coachella. And this was the Coachella where Roger Waters from Pink Floyd was there. And that giant pig flew away.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hoff crafted some comedy.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to thank you guys for helping me get into Coachella and to thank you for clearing up this situation. I was driving back from Coachella around midnight, and I saw this giant pig on the freeway.
See, because he saw the giant pig, which was lost. It right. flew away, and nobody knew where it was. And then he was doing some comedy. But this, again, this video was everywhere. And then he said,
and I don't drink or take drugs. And I thought, well, something's, you know, maybe a little residue left over from my college days. But I'm glad you cleared that up for me, because I did see the pig.
Yeah, he didn't drink or do drugs. And I thought that was really, really odd,
mm-hmm.
because it was right like at the pinnacle of this video that was out there everywhere.
Yeah.
And he went to rehab, remember? And then he got out of rehab and went to a hotel and emptied the Honor Bar.
Yeah, somewhere in the desert.
Or something like that.
Yeah. And he fell asleep at a drive-thru at McDonald's.
Right, exactly. And then...
Yeah, give me a favor by actually keeping me enthused about going to Coachella, because, I mean, I got to the point where it became an obsession. I've got to get tickets now.
I was running the ticket booth. Now, I have a flaw, and that's that if that guy who is so publicly on video is going to say that he doesn't drink, my flaw is, hey, what about the drinking thing? Like, I can't not work that in.
Right.
So I had This Is a Mess standing by, and he said he wasn't – the tickets weren't there for him when he waited, so I figured this is my chance to work it in. I would ask you to say this.
This is a mess.
And then I would see if you did it. Figure it out. Make sure it's you. So he didn't like that.
Oh, what a surprise.
And then
– one of the calls that you left over the weekend, you were saying to some of the girls that you were with that since you were getting them into Coachella, there'd better be some sex at the end of the night. Did that pay off for you?
Oh, my God.
Oh, you know why?
You know what? That is an absolute correct quote, but it wasn't with them. They're like my sisters.
You called Casey at K-Rock, but you didn't know it. And you were talking for like a half hour, and we could hear it all.
Oh, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you for ruining my career.
I'm just saying, I was giving you a thumbs up for that. I thought that was well played.
Okay. Anyway, God bless you guys.
All right.
Talk to you later.
And then he hung up. He hung up before he could say talk to you later.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going to talk to us later. And then we got an email, and I didn't even remember this. Thank God for our listeners who have memories. Yesterday, we were talking about the fact that Hasselhoff had been added to the judging crew,
mm-hmm.
and somebody tweeted me that he had sent us a letter telling us that he was never going to listen again because we played that clip of This Is a Mess, and we went back and found it.
Kevin and Bean, I called on a whim this morning because I happen to be listening to your station. I have considered K-Rock to be a friend and thought I had a positive, friendly relationship. At the end of the interview, a clip of a tape, which is very personal to me, was played.
This is a mess.
It was a very sensitive issue since it involved my children.
And by the way...
Sure, play the kid card.
Your children put that on YouTube.
Yeah.
Your daughter put that on YouTube and everybody was playing it.
It was, from your point of view, fun and entertaining. But from my point of view, it crossed the line. All the best to you, Casey, and your staff. But I will not be listening to K-Rock and I will not be calling again. Sincerely, David Hasselhoff.
So there you go.
Nice work, Kevin.
So good times.
You ruined our relationship with the Hoff.
And I'm going to be out there. I'm the head judge. Can I fire Hasselhoff, do you think?
No.
I don't think he's the head judge.
Aren't you on a boat?
We're on a boat. We are on a boat.
Together.
So neither of us can storm off, I'll tell you that.
Can't go anywhere.
This is going to be awesome. It's going to be like an Indiana Jones film. You'll be wrestling on the boat and someone's going to get thrown in the water.
And that's not to mention the fun of just watching all of these ridiculous creations plummeting to the water. It's the Red Bull Flutog, free to attend. Starts at 10 a.m. You can see these flying machines, in quotes, in the hangar. And then at noon is the first flight. And Carson Daly's going to be there, and the guys from Workaholics, and I'm going to be one of the judges.
This has everything, Kevin.
David Hasselhoff.
I am so excited.
It's going to be a good time. If you'd like to go, we have a pair of VIP tickets. Again,
ooh.
you can show up for free, but the VIP tickets give you great seats and a place to watch all the action from. You can call 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take the first caller right now that wants to go to the Red Bull Flutog And we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Right.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
You've already got your tickets.
You have tickets, and it's free for everybody else, but we got VIP right now for you at K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat, and then just after the top of the hour, Kevin Smith will join us.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Did you stick around for the end of the game, Ralph? Because
it didn't
really go your way.
Stayed for the whole game.
As much as the other.
But luckily, I was drunk enough to not be able to discern what the ending was.
Okay, so good.
In my mind, there's still...
You sound a little worse for the wear, but all right.
I was there was a lot to yell about last night, and I was screaming my lungs out at our team as they coughed the ball up five times with turnovers. It was very frustrating. Let's take a look at the show business news. However, Selena Gomez won't be going to Russia. Oh, she must be so sad. She was going to do two concerts there, but they denied her visa. Apparently, Russia is getting a little squirrely about any foreign artists who don't support the country's anti-gay legislation. You know, they passed those bills that you can't discuss homosexuality or homosexual relationships anywhere near children because they consider that propaganda.
I was not aware that they even passed that. So now if you're an artist and you don't support that, they won't let you in the country?
Yes.
All right.
Change.org sent Selena a petition signed by 1,000 LGBT supporters asking her to take a stand against Russia's oppression of that community. Before she even had a chance to respond, just by the fact that she was sent the petition, Russia stepped in and denied her visa. So her Monday night concert in St. Petersburg is off, and the Wednesday night show at Moscow's Olympic Stadium has also been scrapped. So no Wizards of Putin place for the Russians. They do not get to enjoy Selena Gomez.
Seems sadly. Like that country is not going the right direction.
It's so funny that does no one see the irony in Russia saying we don't want any propaganda in this country.
You're right, sure.
None of that gay propaganda. How about all the millions and millions of propaganda ideas that you've pumped into their people's minds?
Including the anti-gay propaganda.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Lisa will be very excited. It's Broadway news.
Okay.
Marshall Brickman, who co-wrote the book for Jersey Boys, very successful musical on Broadway.
Which, awesome show.
Awesome show. He also co-wrote the screenplay for Annie Hall, by the way, with Woody Allen.
Oh, wow.
He has got a new musical in the works based on the life of Roy Rogers. Yeah.
It's got everything. Country, Broadway.
The singing musical cowboy, Roy Rogers, and his horse Trigger will be given the Broadway treatment in 2015. Trigger's going to sing, and Dale's sing, and everybody's going
to
be singing.
There's nothing that I will go to less than that.
You know, Trigger's
come on,
stuffed,
Kevin.
Right?
Yeah, the wheel Trigger out, and Roy Rogers will be up there.
Wow.
His slanty little eyes.
Wow.
Be a good
That's
time.
Right.
Yeah. Always looks stoned, Roy Rogers. This is big news in behind-the-scenes Hollywood. Disney and Jerry Bruckheimer have decided to part ways. Now, Bruckheimer has been involved with Disney and developing films for them for years now.
Of course, 10 years.
The National Treasure franchise, the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, of course. Looks like they've decided to go in separate directions. Daily Variety says Disney has decided to focus its branding on all their other licenses. They've got so many now. They've got Pixar and Marvel and now Lucasfilm with Star Wars. So they're going to focus on those. And Bruckheimer said he would like to move on and perhaps do some more mature films rather than sort of the family-friendly Pirates movies and that like that. However, they're still doing a fifth Pirates film and a third National Treasure movie, and that'll be the end of their relationship as they both move on. So. And Kanye West is, well,
still
the diva du jour, at least. Great story out of the UK today about how Kanye was supposed to appear on a British television show, but he had a series of demands that eventually producers found just too impossible to comply with. Here, he, first of all, wanted the entire set to be rebuilt. Was not happy with the set. Then he demanded everything in his dressing room be white, including having the walls repainted to be white. And then he wanted 8 of the 15 dressing rooms that were available backstage, despite the fact that the Kings of Leon and Sting were also on the bill, and they needed some rooms. But the strangest demand of all was when he demanded that the carpet in the hallways of the studio be ironed. He thought it was a little wrinkly.
But honestly, there's no...
A little wrinkly.
There's no way anyone would ever get to be that big of an a-hole. Don't you think he's just messing around?
Oh, I think he's that big of an a-hole.
Really?
Iron a carpet?
Iron the carpet is a joke.
And he's still looking for his croissants, too. I don't know where
he does need his damn croissants.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Sophia Loren is 79 years old today. John Bernthal, who played Shane in Walking Dead, is 37 years old. Bassist Ben Shepherd of Soundgarden is 45. The Nelson boys, Gunnar and Matthew of Nelson, are 46. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun, also 46 years old today. Randy Bradbury of Pennywise is 49. And Gary Cole, who is one of my favorite actors, and Kevin's a big fan, too. We had him in on the show.
I do love Gary Cole.
He said, "You're a guy who I don't know your name," after I introduced him as Gary.
Well, what I meant to say was I've seen him in 100 things, but I wouldn't be able to tell you his name. That's
you
what I
could
meant.
If he was on the potter bus.
That's true. That is true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. We have the Internet Roundup coming up in a few minutes. Cousin Sal with his look at the NFL picks, and Mary McNamara from the LA Times talking about the Emmys on Sunday night. But first, writer, actor, director, friend of the show, Kevin Smith.
Yay!
In studio with us.
Hey, I just want to put my name in the hat for a job here because I'm here. Ralph's not here.
That's true.
Bean's yeah. not here.
Hello.
That's also true.
Look at how, and I'm here on time for a
you
change.
You were here early.
Tell me about it.
How about
I'm
that?
Ready. I want this job. I knew this is like all about Eve. It's all about Ralph. As soon as he's out of town, man, I move into the chair.
Ralph's
and I'm,
still
it's a
on
game
the show,
of attrition.
Though. Oh, that's Ralph. See, that's he's still on the show.
He's just, listening? He's oh, hey, Philly. Man. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
How is everybody on the show today?
We are good.
You mean everybody on the show?
Yeah,
here?
I don't want to talk to people that aren't in the room. Right. I don't acknowledge people that
We're
don't bother
fine.
To come.
Kevin Smith is here. He's got some podcasts coming up. You want to talk about tonight's?
Yeah,
Why Bri?
Right here in the California area, man. Ontario Improv. I'm doing a show called Why Bri tonight at 10 o'clock with Brian Johnson, my friend who's on that AMC show that we have called Comic Book Man, the big guy with the beard.
He's the bearded guy.
Beard guy Bri. So I'm doing a Why Bri there tonight at the Ontario Improv, and then Monday we're at the Brea Improv doing another Why Bri. So he's a funny dude. He's the guy I've known forever. He was the original Randall. If you ever watch Clerks and you like Clerks, he was the guy that I based Randall on. Brian Johnson, so damn free-spirited and whatnot. And the person I most wanted to be. Which really disturbed girlfriends of mine.
They're
like, why him? I was like, I don't know. This guy knows how to live. Like, this guy instilled in me a sense of humor that I still kind of carry and work with today. So it's nice to be able to kind of go out and do a podcast with him as well. He's a very, very funny guy.
Now, speaking of you and your career, you said that when you walked in, you said something about the Walrus movie.
Yeah, I'm now, getting ready. I leave unless what's today?
I don't know what that means. Today's Friday, the 20th.
So 1 month from tomorrow. You know, unless things go horribly awry, but everything seems kosher and copacetic right now, I start my next film. We didn't talk about it. I've talked about it online, but I never told you guys.
If you don't mind my just calling back to a previous conversation.
Yes.
You very publicly.
Yes.
Retired.
Yeah, I'm going to. My retirement was predicated on the last film, though. The last film was meant to be Hit Somebody, and then that's become a miniseries instead. So then the last film was Clerks 3.
Right.
And I submitted Clerks 3, and I'm still waiting for word on budgeting on who's going to finance Clerks 3. And while I was waiting for that early in the steps of submitting that script, I was just like, it reminded me of everything that I personally don't like about the movie business, which is the hurry up and wait aspect.
Right.
In the world of podcasting, if you have an idea, you open up your laptop and you,
boom.
There it is.
There
it starts happening. You pull people together. Everything's very nimble. You can move around very quickly and create art and boom, move on and then create new art the next day or an hour later or something like that.
In
it's
our case,
kind of like masturbation. It's amazing. Podcasting, the frequency of podcasting is the frequency of masturbation. But
they have so much in common. You're absolutely right.
You're not kidding. Listen to the sound of my own voice. But then there's filmmaking, which is I was going to try to pull some parallel for that, but we're on the radio.
Okay, but but
this sounds like a giant loophole.
It's a big loophole for me.
Here's my point.
I could drive a truck through it. It's the film thing is just like hurry up and wait. You have a ton of ideas. And you're like, let's go, and then you hit the wall of a giant bank of money, like a bag of money. That and I get it. Like you have to slow down. We're in $1 million, $2 million, millions of dollars involved because you gotta stop and go like, wait, is all of this worth it? But that's the opposite of what I've been doing for the last 3 years, which is like, if I want to make it, let's just go make it.
And that's why you retired.
Yes. moved away from that. From that slow
and now,
film. But well, I said I still had one film to
maybe
do.
You
I said I want to finish.
Just
one
retire
film.
Less is what I'm saying.
But this comes, one comes from the other. That's why I'm excited about this. Like, one was birthed from a podcast. This Walrus movie, Tusk, it's called.
okay. Walrus movie.
It came from a podcast, from an episode of Smodcast we did. There was a news story that ran. That we talked about on Smodcast 259. We called it The Walrus and the Carpenter is the title of the episode. But the news story, I'm sure you guys talked about it here.
I don't know.
There was an ad on a UK website called Gumtree.uk. And there was a guy who's like, I live in Brighton in the UK. And I'm an old man who's lived a very long, adventurous life, including one period where I was lost at sea for 2 months, or 2 years rather, with nobody but a walrus for a companion, and I called him Gregory. And when I separated from him, I was heartbroken. Now I find myself in this giant house with nobody to live with, no friends. I have a room to offer. You can have run of the house. You just have to stay at my bedroom and my workshop. In exchange for this, I ask only, I have been for some time constructing a realistic walrus costume. I ask that you wear it.
No way.
Once a day.
No way.
And while you are in the costume, you are not to speak as a human. You are to speak only as a walrus. You can find the noises on the internet, it said.
What?
I will throw you fishes and crabs. You will be expected to try to catch them. It's meant to do an hour once a day, but we probably won't go with that frequency. But to just lay it out for you, here's the number to contact me. And then there was a follow-up to the article. Like, you know, they allowed to post a PS to the living situation. I guess Gumtree.uk is kind of like a Craigslist or a homeless site over there. And his update was, thank you for all of your interest. Apparently, the dude got so many people going like, I'll wear a walrus costume for a free bedroom. This is amazing. And he narrowed it down to one. He was like, I already have my lodger. Thank you all so much. You know, blessed greetings.
Do we have any idea how that turned out?
Yes, we do.
We do.
Oh, we do. It's strange. So I read this story online. It traveled around the internet and on Smodcast. We grab stories like you do right here and you know, have fun with them and stuff. We tend to go off on deep flights of fancy. On that one, I was like, this sounds like a horror movie to me. You invite somebody to live in a room, and then you try to make them a walrus, like the human centipede.
Right.
A cuddly version of the human centipede, the human walrus, I said. So me and Scott Mosier, my co-host on Smodcast, we're talking about the story and building this fake movie based around the little details we have. And to me, it sounds gripping. At the end of the episode, Scott's like, that was funny. Goodbye. And he goes home and goes about his life.
Doesn't give it another thought.
Never. Me, I'm sitting there going like, that. I would see that movie. You know, because I sit there going, there's so many movies like I don't leave the house to see anymore. Because I'm like, I've seen this before in 28 variations. I ain't never seen a human walrus movie.
That's true.
So I'm sitting there going, I'm waiting to hear word on Clerks 3. Another aspect of the waiting game that you hate in the film business is you stare at your phone for so long. Now you have cell phone. Every moment of every day, I found myself picking it up, opening it, and checking email, checking messages to see if anybody got in contact.
That's a bummer.
Oh, it just kills
it's
you
because
you
got
again. Yeah. Oh my God, I've been married for like 15 years almost. So the idea of like, do they like me? Like, that's gone. Like, and suddenly having to deal with that again and waiting for somebody to call and being frustrated because I'm like, God, I should have enough money to do this myself. Then I wouldn't have to rely on anybody. It's all part and parcel with that. I was like, if I could do this and it works, I will have enough money to do anything I want, like, in, within reason. So I start writing this script.
The Walrus.
I do.
The human walrus.
I call it Tusk. And, you know, I set it in Canada because I'm a big Canada fan. And it's this weird backwoods Canadian horror movie takes place in the woods of Manitoba about this guy who's a podcaster who goes looking for stories and finds this one story in a listing in a bathroom for a room to rent.
Right.
Calls the guy and goes to meet this man, sits down with this man, and then the man eventually takes the guy over and slowly over the course of the movie turns him into a walrus. Called Tusk. That was his friend. His walrus in the movie is not called Gregory. It's called Tusk. Mr. Tuskegee. So he calls the walrus Tusk.
Okay.
So this is the movie.
Okay.
I start writing it. I fall in love with it because I'm sitting there going, okay, I don't want to do movies anymore. I love podcasting. What would make me want to go to a movie set? What would make me want to sit there for like however long it's going to take? And I said, this movie Red State I made. What I loved about it was watching Michael Parks, the guy that played Aben Cooper, the bad guy, preacher, watching him act. Like, it was it felt so good. It reminded me why I got into film in the first place. Like the wonder one has for art, the majesty that you can like hold up something stupid as adults pretending to be somebody else.
Right.
And you can hold it up and say, this is about human truth. Like everything that connected with me originally about filmmaking. As I sat there watching Michael Parks act, I said, I could do this for the rest of my life. I don't care what he says. You hear people go like, I'd listen to him read a phone book. Absolutely. The guy would find a way to read the phone book where he'd be like, I've never looked at the phone book that way. So I'm like, all right, if I had Michael Parks there, then I'd be okay with this movie, man. I'd like just sit there. I'd go just to watch Michael Parks act. So I wrote the lead role for him. He's the old man in the woods. And so since he's such a brilliant actor and orator, he's been in Quentin's movies. He was in Then Came Bronson, a TV show back in the day. But most people know him from Quentin and Robert's movies. He's the sheriff that's just son number one, you know, in the Kill Bill and also in the opening of From Dusk Till Dawn. So I write it for him. I get done with it. It's 80 pages, mean, lean, quick, weird, just out there. Like, you know, I love the movies I made, all the Viewaskew movies and stuff, but I didn't become a filmmaker to make comedy. I became a filmmaker to make film, and right away I went to comedy because I'm like, I like this. I like right. making people laugh. But I love weird movies. I love the Coen Brothers movies and Quentin's flicks and stuff like that. Very weird
stuff
out there.
Stuff that you can't predict where it's going and all that.
And stuff that I can't make. Yeah. Like the idea of aspiring to something is don't do what you could do. Like I could do a Kevin Smith movie in my sleep. Like I know how to make two guys talk about Star Wars and sex. But to do something that's outside your safety net, like that's pushing it. That's being an art artist. So I wrote this weird thing that's not – it's. I guess it's kind of a sister to Red State. Like, it's that kind of weird.
Right.
But it's outside of my comfort zone. It got me kind of excited. So I was like, let me see how far I could push this. Like, on the podcast, we talked about you could do something like this, take it to Jason Blum at Blumhouse, the guys that do The Purge and whatnot. I said, this is as good as The Purge. Why not this?
The Purge was terrible.
I didn't see it. But, but the idea, that's what I was saying. I was like, the idea of like, once a year, we all hunt everybody. You know, I was like, that's as dopey as like, this right. man's turning this man into a walrus. So I said, we could reach out to him. So I reached out to him with the script. And I was like, hey, man, because I knew Jason from back in the day at Miramax and also... that recently I went to see Insidious, I think last year, or Sinister rather,
Sinister.
And wrote a review for him or something. So I'm talking to him. I go, hey man, I got this weird walrus movie, horror movie. Could be like a $3 million thing right up your alley. I said, you could totally say no, but do you want to read it? And he's like, yeah, send it. I sent it to him. He goes, this is like Ionesco, dude. This is just absurd. He's going, I'm in. I want to make it. So suddenly we take a step forward. And this has only been 21 days since the original podcast
wow.
where we talked about it. I wrote the script in about 20 days. So by the 21st day, suddenly we had a backer. And I was like, well, let's just see how far we can keep going, man. Maybe I can get it
that's crazy.
Done in time for Sundance, January of this of 2014, because that will be my 20th anniversary of having been there with Clerks. So I was like, all right, man, let me see if I can get it there. Let me see if I, you know, it, no harm, no foul. If it doesn't work, it was never meant to be, and I'm not that invested. But if it works, it, you know, that's kind of inspiring. The best thing you can do for anybody in this world is not give them money, not give them shelter. You inspire them. You inspire somebody, they can take care of themselves, man. And it's inspirational to be like, me and my friend had this dopey conversation on a podcast. And then 6 months later, ta-da, here it is. Yeah. It's a movie. And you heard the formation of this. You hear how simple it is. And I'll keep you up to date as we make it so everybody can see how dopely simple it could be to make your own art or something like
is
that.
Is it? Possible that you have smoked too much weed?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I would definitely, I would say weed is a co-producer on this movie because I can't imagine the pre-weed Kevin Smith going like, this is worthwhile. All right. So we go to Blumhouse. Right, Blumhouse is
hold
in.
Hold on. We got to take a break.
All right. There's a part two for this.
We got to take a break. Kevin
it's epic.
Kevin Smith is in the studio. Why Bri is the name of the podcast. It's at Ontario Improv tonight at 10:15. So you can go get those tickets and see Kevin, and maybe he'll tell you some more about this walrus piece of BS that he's working on. We'll be right back. 25 minutes after 7 o'clock, Kevin Smith is in the studio with us talking about some dream he had about a walrus.
It's going to work, man.
It's a movie that came together in his head, and 21 days later, he's going to shoot.
No, I'm going to shoot. I think by the time we're going to shoot, it's probably like 3 months later. It's taking a little while because we thought we had a backer in Blumhouse, and then Blumhouse was like, do you have a star? And I was like, no, I mean, isn't the idea the star? And they were like, $3 million walrus movie, Kev, without a star. So he was like, you could wait till January and get a star and go, you know, that'd be a lot easier for me. And I was like, yeah, but I want it to be at Sundance in January. I was like, would you mind if if I left and went to try to find money so I could do this the way I want to. And he's like, I respect your vision. Go to it. So I was out of Backer suddenly. Okay. And then I went to my people, like my financial advisor. I was like, look, pull money out of the house. Like, I hear people do stuff like that all the time. My mom refinanced her house at one point. Like, I got a big house.
It doesn't always work out, though. You know that, right?
That's what they say.
Okay.
They said, don't do that.
I know. Don't do that. But my financial advisor was like, I need 6 months. And I was like, I can't. We got to go fast. We got to move as quickly as we can. So I am not a guy that has a liquid couple million sitting around or anything like that. So
you went to Ralph Garman?
I did. I was like, Ralph, you want to be in? Well, I did. Yeah, Ralph's in the movie, but he didn't have the check to write, sadly. But he's in the flick
anyway.
I found a company that said yes. Like, oh, it's so wonderful when somebody goes, yeah, man, we're into this. And, we're almost, like, done with our deal. We're moving forward. I guess I can say it. It's a company called Demarest. Really great guys, man. Two dudes named Sam and Dave. I thought that was awesome. I knew what we were on. It was a good sign when Sam and Dave came to my house. And I was like, I'm a soul man, too. So Sam and Dave, they were like, we dig this script, man. We want to do this. Normally, they invest in bigger movies. But they were like, this is weird and wild. And who's the guy? I was like, Michael Parks. Like, he's great. Let's go forward. So it looked like we were going to be shooting the movie first in Canada. And then when we were there was a moment where it looked like we were shooting it here in Los Angeles. Then we went back to Toronto. But now it looks like we're shooting the movie in North Carolina. So I leave in about 3 weeks.
I feel like this is going to change in an amazing way 4 more times before you shoot in 3 weeks.
Probably. We're getting close. I mean, and it does take
in Mexico at some point.
Totally. We're carrying
now it's a donkey.
On my back.
It's a donkey instead of a walrus. Right.
People are like, there's a big man in a colorful shirt and he's carrying a walrus on his back. Stop him.
The film is now called El Burro.
But it's come together in such this weird, wonderful way. And there were moments where it was falling apart and I was just like, all right, it's not meant to be. And then all of a sudden it would come together again. And in the other flicks, you were living and dying with every moment.
Yeah.
But like 20 years in and at this point where I'm like, well, I'll do it if we can do it. And if we don't do it, well, I'll just podcast.
It's no big deal. Maybe that's your answer.
Maybe it's the balance, man. Yeah. But it came from the podcast. Podcasts make it all so easier. So podcast's still the spine of what I do. And I just like the idea that when the movie's done, I think we'll have the first one that's like based on a podcast. First movie. Like,
all right.
You know, it's like, it's about going through the door first. And sometimes the door is stupid and small, kids. But it's your door, you know? And
sometimes you can hit your head on the way in.
I reached out to somebody. We haven't closed deals yet, but I don't think he'd be too upset me talking about it. The guy who's going to, because a lot of people online are like, who's going to play the walrus? Who's going to play the walrus?
Ben Affleck?
No, he's preoccupied playing another character.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is it me?
I haven't heard.
Ralph is in the movie.
Is it Ralph?
But I'm
not playing the walrus?
He's not playing
the
walrus.
Is he the burrow?
Ralph first plays a border guard.
Yeah.
And then he plays Ernest Hemingway.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He plays two roles.
And then Magic Johnson.
It's all
and other people
dream
I'm not right for.
Abraham Lincoln's giving Mahatma Gandhi a rubdown. Ralph is facilitating. The dude I reach out to to play the walrus guy, the guy who actually gets sewn into the human walrus suit.
Right.
Was a dude that I worked with first as an actor, and then I got to be a director. But I didn't really even direct him because he's just a genius.
Oh, Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Close, though. Oh, but my heart jumped a beat when you said that. Stop. That was like, I almost woke up, bolt up straight in bed, and was like, like a dream in a movie. Like, oh, what a nightmare.
Kevin would like to sew him up into something.
Oh, that'd be amazing. That I would cast him in that movie. No, but it was a dude that I first met through Willis because it was on a Willis film, Justin Long, who I worked with in Live Free or Die Hard, and then he was in Zach and Mary. I love him. I think he's such an amazing actor.
I think he's great, too.
And the part is...
He's so likable.
He's very likable. That's the thing. Ultimately, it comes down to him covered in this walrus thing. And I've seen the designs. Robert Kurtzman's doing the designs of the walrus suit.
Kurtzman.
No,
okay.
But he's from the KMB effects group, so there is a kind of...
They work on The Walking Dead.
Okay, yeah. All but right. But the design is weird because, like, as you write a story about a person that's becoming a walrus, you look at a human, you look at a walrus, they are separated. There's not... It would take a really blurry imagination.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done. He's crafted like this walrus costume that he sews onto the guy that's made of human suits and stuff. So it's a monster movie, man. And if we get it done right, it looks like we'll be able to be at Sundance in January showing the flick. And if that happens, dude, it's so nice to be able to go from a podcast to a flick in 6 months. Like, that's easy. If that was my life, I could definitely do movies, but it's not like
you need to start a new podcast planning my next movie. Just
sit there and just talk. Just like, there's guys in the convenience store.
That's been done.
Yeah, totally.
Ralph's in Philadelphia. You're not doing Babylon this weekend.
Yeah, no Babel this weekend.
Next weekend?
We are definitely back. Last weekend's show, I thought, was one of the best Babylons we ever did.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we quit.
So you we're just done. Said, that's so it. We're going to go out on
top. The microphone. We're like, we're finished. No. See, and did Kevin you tell these cats?
Kevin
man?
Was supposed to be on the road this weekend. He was going to do an appearance somewhere else. So we were going to go dark this weekend. So I said, okay, I'll plan a little trip for myself. I'll go someplace. I go someplace else, and then he decides to do a podcast with somebody else. That's what he did.
He's stabbing you in the back right now?
It's cheating all about on me. Eve, man.
Is that what's happening right now?
Next, he's going to sew me up into a walrus suit. That's the next step.
He is doing Why Bri, the podcast at the Ontario.
Which, and Brian is so funny, too. Go see it. If you're a fan of Babel, you will love Brian and Kevin's work in Why Bri. It's an awesome podcast.
That's tonight at 10:15 at the Ontario Improv. And then Monday night, you're doing the same one, a different with the same guy, Why Bri. Monday night at the Brea Improv.
Absolutely.
Go see that as well.
And can I give a little shout out? Because I doubt he's ever brought it up here. But, you know, me and Ralph have been doing Hollywood Babylon for, like, the better part of 3 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
AMC just greenlit a pilot based
of
on
that?
Hollywood Babylon. So
awesome.
Me and Ralph are going to get to do a TV version of it. I don't know if it'll go on TV.
I know you guys have been working on that behind the scenes. That's great.
So long with other people, and it fell through, and those cats were can you say that D word on radio?
No.
Docs. Total docs.
They were docs.
Or as my mother said, my mother went to court one time because of this incident out in front of my house with my father got pushed by our neighbor, and he went to the ground. And my mom's like, I'm pressing charges. This is small town nonsense. And court in Highlands is very small. It's at the Borough Hall. So we go, it's because it's not even a town, it's called the Borough Hall. So we go and the judge is there and they're going through the case and mom's making me sitting back and she goes up to testify. It's the first time I've ever seen courtroom proceedings outside of a TV show.
Right.
Doesn't look like a TV show at all. This was not like LA Law and that's what I was looking for. Had no Harry Hamlin in the court. So I'm sitting there and my mom's up on the stand and the judge is like, so tell me what happened. My mom is relating the story and she's like, and then he called my husband a very bad word and pushed him down. And the judge was like, well, you have to tell me what this very bad word is. My mom's like Catholic, really Catholic. She's just like, I am not at liberty to say it out loud, Your Honor. My mom, God bless her, is one of those people that overspeaks beyond her abilities. So she'll choose the biggest words
of course
she can, particularly being a courtroom setting where she'd be like, it's not honorary before us to speak of this vocabulary. Where, you know, where the judge is like, what are you talking about? So the judge is like, well, write it down for me, ma'am. And so they give my mother a piece of paper and a pen, and she writes it down, and she slides it back. I swear to God, this actually happened, true story. She slides it back to the judge. He opens it and looks at it, and he goes, he called your husband Duckless? And then my mother, like, as exasperated as one could be, had to say it out loud in court. And I was in the back, and I threw up the horns because I'm like, Mom, cursed in court.
That's
anyway,
awesome.
Yeah, so the other people we tried to make a show with, utterly duckless. The new people, yes. AMC, very, very cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we'll let you know.
When might we see that?
It looks like we're talking about shooting it at the beginning of the new year, I think, Ralph.
Yeah, because Kevin's busy with this through the year.
I got to finish the walrus picture.
And sure. We want to get it done before Kevin gets into Clerks 3 territory, which will be beginning of next year. So
but we owe you guys because I met Ralph here. Doing the showbiz beat with him, you know, led to us doing Babylon.
Fantastic.
So you guys are like godparents.
Well,
or creepy people at the
time for a brand new internet roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane, internet roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and click on the Kevin and Bean section. You can see all of these videos in one place. There's a lot. You know Yulvis the Fox. You know that video.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've been talking about it forever. I remember when we first – we didn't discover it by any means, but it was 1.2 million views, I think. Now it's like 36 million or some crazy
number.
It just
exploded.
Like that. Ohio University Marching Band playing the Fox.
Like marching bands, right?
I got to tell you, I hate them. I hate that's the worst type of music. But that's awesome.
It is.
Remember Tay Zonday with Chocolate Rain?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that guy?
What does the fox say? I'm
sorry, that's not the right one. This is a guy who's doing this. He's recording all of this by himself in his car. So he's sitting in his car, and he's got a little recording box, mm-hmm. and he does the entire recording of the fox in his car.
What does the fox say?
And it's funny to watch people walk by and look at him like, what on earth is going on in there? Tayson Day, now this is his remake.
What does the fox say?
That's a terrible version, by the way.
I do not like that.
It's funny to watch. The guys that did The Fox mm-hmm. did another one before called Stonehenge that's very funny. It starts a little slow for me, but at the end it really, really picks up. They got a choir, and he's just trying to figure out what is up with Stonehenge.
What's the deal with Stonehenge? What's the deal? What's the deal? What's the deal? You should have left the tiny hinge when you made this labyrinth of stone. Who the is the stone?
So that's the same guys that did The Fox. That video is up there as well. It's at kevinandbean.com. I hate California wine country. This might be the female me.
You can't spell wine without Y. That's a fact.
Wino.
Barf breath.
You drunk.
Aggressively flavorful. Almost racist in its flavor.
What's a tasting room?
The legs are not legs. They're wine. Wine doesn't have legs.
She goes around. That's about a five-minute video of just her cursing out everything in wine country.
That is you.
She's not happy with it. This is everything is Samuel L. Jackson's fault. Parents find Samuel L. Jackson wherever he is, walking in a store, sitting at a little table, you know, eating lunch, and they blame all of their kids' behavior on his movies.
My son was attacked by a shark because he saw you in Deep Blue Sea.
How's that even my fault?
My son is a 22-year-old overweight nerd living in my basement because you decided to do Star Wars.
Yeah, my nickname's Gator and I smoke crack.
Because of Jungle Fever?
No, I never saw it. I just like crack.
What?
I have a son who's in prison because you were in Shawshank Redemption.
That wasn't even me. That was Morgan Freeman.
Well, you anyway.
That's a very funny video. We always like to put up honest trailers. This one is for World War Z.
Watch Brad Pitt survive an unsurvivable apocalypse thanks to a constant stream of life-saving coincidences, like never hitting traffic in the middle of mass hysteria, finding an RV with the keys and a loaded gun inside, surviving this car crash, surviving this plane crash, surviving this spike in his stomach.
It's very funny. I like the movie, but it's still very funny the way they take it apart. And finally, on Thursday nights, Jimmy Kimmel does This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Late night host Jimmy Kimmel f***s all.
You Kimmel with your good ideas.
How long is your can I ask? Of the two of you, who s*** more? Mama June, who would you say?
Sure, man.
Who loves who loves
of course, none of those words needed beeps, but Jimmy puts them in just to make it sound worse. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at krock.com.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 4 minutes till 8. Cousin Sal will give us his picks for the NFL weekend coming up in the next hour so you can make a little dough. First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph from Philadelphia.
I hope he picks the Eagles this weekend.
They already lost, Ralph.
Oh, that's
last
right.
Last night, yeah.
But at least we get to play Denver next week in Denver.
Oh, great!
So with a struggling defense, it's good to go up against Peyton Manning, who's on track to throw 400 touchdowns.
How many games have the Eagles won this year?
The one, just the one game.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that going to be the same at the end of the season?
Very, very likely.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, there's a clue that Liam Hemsworth and Miley Cyrus may officially be broken up. I think it's the fact that he was making out with another hot chick last week in front of her apartment.
That's a way to get your message across, I guess.
It's funny because neither Liam nor his new girlfriend are from the USA, and yet we still chant on their behalf. Isa Gonzalez is her name. She's a beautiful Latina singer and actress, and they were seen making out outside her apartment last Tuesday. Word is they look very happy together and looked very intimate and cozy, and at no time did Isa get up on a wrecking ball and rub her hoo-ha against the chain. So, must have been a nice refreshing change for Liam. Forbes magazine, once again, has released another one of their highest paid lists. This time, it's highest paid celebrity couples. For the second year in a row, the
couple that ended up at number one on that list, Beyonce and Jay-Z, with $95 million over the past year. That's what they pulled down.
Over just the past year.
Yeah, that's their singing careers, his record label, their other interests like endorsement deals. That's how they pulled together $95 million. The rest of the top ten, Giselle Bundchen and Tom Brady made $80 million. They were number two. Then Angelina and Brad Pitt, $50 million. Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis came together and made $35 million over the past year. And then Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
Who?
With porn star Kim Kardashian.
Thank you.
With $30 million came at number five. And speaking of Kanye, he is a douchebag of mythic proportions. UK's Daily Mail reports that he was set to appear on a British TV show, but then started making ridiculous demands, including to have the set of the show be rebuilt to his specifications, having everything in his dressing room, including the walls, in white. So he demanded the walls be painted. But the strangest demand by far was that the carpet in the hallways at the studio and in the dressing room had to be ironed. You don't want a wrinkly carpet. You can't enjoy a dressing room with a wrinkly carpet. Uh-huh. Let's face it.
I'm not going to go to the Red Bull Flutog unless they iron Rainbow Harbor.
Smart man.
The entire harbor.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Bernthal from Walking Dead. Played Shane on that series. 37 years old today. Ben Shepherd, bassist for Soundgarden's 45. Gunnar and Matthew Nelson, the band Nelson, 46 years old. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun and Austin Powers is also 46. Gary Cole, one of my favorite character actors working today, is 57, and Sophia Loren celebrates her 79th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin Devine Show. That's Avicii. The new album is great, too. I've had a chance to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. It is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. Work production went down a lot this week because of Grand Theft Auto 5.
I imagine that's true.
Which went on sale Tuesday.
A few weeks ago, I was happily sulking by my swimming pool. Who do you want?
Just came by to see if there's something I can help you with.
I'm retired. My psychotic best friend shows up out of nowhere.
Nobody tells me what I want!
To torture me over mistakes I made over a decade ago.
So you're back in the game? I guess.
Yes! Woo! Welcome back, man!
We're all professionals, we all know the score. We're gonna move quick, and we're gonna keep cool.
My job! My score! Get your own!
Grand Theft Auto 5, coming September 17th, rated M for mature.
So that was this past Tuesday, and in 24 hours, Ralph reported on his showbiz beat, in 24 hours it made $800 million.
Did anyone predict that?
I don't know. In the world of video games, I think Call of Duty's that big. Grand Theft Auto is that big. Wow. But there aren't very many that make that kind of dough in one day. And that's only the first day sales.
Yeah.
And downloads and stuff like that. So we wanted to find out. I saw a tweet either yesterday or the day before, a screen cap of a girl who'd been broken up with because her boyfriend got Grand Theft Auto on Tuesday and had been playing it ever since. And so they got in a big fight, and she said, you like the game more than me, and he said, yes, I do, and she said, it's me or the game, and he said, I'm going to enjoy the game, have a nice life.
I think they're both better off.
I do, too. I mean, how good of a boyfriend was he?
Right.
And can't she understand a man's need for a video game?
Right.
Right?
Right. So all of that is true.
They're both wrong. So we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you have, like a lot of friends that I have, called in sick.
Mm-hmm.
Taking vacation days or plan your vacation. A lot of guys will plan their vacation around the release of a big video game like this.
Wow.
So they know that they're off on this week so they can get it and pretty much play it 20 hours a day and sleep the other four and never shower.
I don't get this, but okay.
Grand Theft Auto 5, The Fallout. Those are the calls that we want. You broke up over it. You called in sick. You got fired over it. You quit.
Mm-hmm.
You're tired of that crazy job and you just don't want any more, and this is what put it over the top. You actually get to play Grand Theft Auto 5. We will take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Now, I can't imagine breaking up over it, but like you say, neither person really.
Well, look, we don't know what his history was as a boyfriend. Maybe he does this all the time.
Yeah, you sort of do.
Maybe he's always saying, hey, can we just go do anything?
But you sort of do know what kind of guy he's like.
No, but
because if he's going to sit there and play video games, that's not a change.
If he's going to play video games for a week straight, that's not like, hey, I'm going to do this even though I've never done it before. He's done it every
right, but it takes time to figure this out.
And two and three and four. It doesn't really.
Okay, Kevin, I'm
just saying this
You're
guy.
Right.
This guy's a loser.
She never should have dated him.
There are a lot of guys like this. 1-800-520-1067. You got Grand Theft Auto 5 and you quit your job or you got fired. Or you broke up, or any of the above, and we will take your calls after this on camera. Some of you have bought Grand Theft Auto 5. Some of you have been
all of you
playing.
Are you kidding
it.
Me?
Yeah,
all
everyone.
Of you have bought it.
800 million in 24 hours is ridiculous. But we're looking for people who had a little fallout from video games. Things happened. Things went wrong. You spent too much time in front of it. And Nick gets us started. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, hi, thank Nick. You. What college? Hello. What you were college?
Yeah, I was in college. It was when Grand Theft Auto San Andreas came out, and that was, like, the coolest thing ever.
That's the second one?
It was, like, the third one.
Third one? Okay.
And so I was in college. I was a freshman in college, and I was able to scrounge up some money to get the game, and I pretty much went underground for about 2 weeks to the point where my mom was about to have me reported missing.
Your mom was about
no
to report
one
you missing?
Get in touch with you?
Well, it's because, I mean, they lived out of state, and so they were paying for all my bills and my cell phone, and they couldn't get a hold of me because I had my cell phone on vibrating. Didn't answer for 2 weeks, so they canceled my credit cards. They disconnected my phone to try to flush me out.
Wow.
And it took them having to send some cousins to drive over here to UCLA to get a hold of me to make sure that I wasn't dead or anything before she reported me missing.
Nick, did you miss all your classes?
Of course.
It was only 2 weeks, so I only missed, like, eight classes, maybe. And
freshman.
I was an art student, so everybody else was kind of a burnout as well. So
I love it.
Well-paid education.
I love it. Your parents were paying for that. Thank you for the call. 2 weeks. That's something.
That's a little extreme.
Yeah, a bit. All right. Let's go to, is it Melly?
Yes, it's Melly.
Hi, Melly.
Hi. Okay, so we've been together since we were 17. It's video games all the time.
Right.
And this GTA, we just bought a business. We have two young kids who are in video games, too, and he literally closed the day to download since 3 o'clock in the morning the video game.
What do you mean he closed for the day?
He closed the bakery for the day, and his friend works with him for, like, they know each other for such a long time, and they both stayed home, started downloading the game, closed for the day, and actually closed the next day so that they could play video games all day.
This is a new business that you guys bought.
Yes, in May. Yeah, that we bought on May.
Wow, and you don't make money hand over fist in a bakery either.
Exactly. And so we've been kind of like, oh my God, what's going on? And then, like, now it's like, you know, I'm like, well, it doesn't really help that you're closing for, you know, GTA. And he's like, well, it's okay. It's just one day.
And then it's just 2 days.
Two. Yes. Oh,
well, good luck, Melly.
I hope you can bake.
Thank you for the call. I hope you can bake as well. Let's go to Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
What?
I'm actually not allowed to talk to my boyfriend at all when Grand Theft Auto comes out. I leave him alone for a week until he calls me.
That's the deal that you have with him?
That's the deal that we have. Anytime a game that's high up there on his list, I'm not allowed to talk to him at all.
Interesting.
Now,
how many of those games are there?
Yeah.
It's really only happened 3 times.
Was it Call of Duty? Was it Grand Theft Auto?
It was Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto, and I can't remember the third one, but during that week, I pretty much go off and do whatever I want on my own.
Now, you sort of sound like you're cool with that.
You know, it's... When we started dating, I realized he was really into video games, and it's just something that he does. That's his relaxed time. I go out and drink. He goes and plays video games.
She has a good time.
It's a perfect situation. Yeah. You're the perfect woman for
him. You're like on vacation for a week.
That's crazy. So he's been playing since Tuesday, and you haven't contacted him?
Pretty much.
All right.
I know he's alive because he'll send random text messages like halfway through the games, like when it's loading or something. But, yeah, that's pretty much all it is.
USA! USA!
Thank you. Trying to get a hold of the cousin Sal. Talk about the NFL picks for this weekend. Last weekend, he was 3-0.
Really?
The first weekend, I think he was 1-1 or something. I don't know. But 3-0 last weekend, not bad.
That's impressive.
Cousin Sal joins us now. Hi, cousin Sal.
Hey, what's happening, Kevin?
Here's what I noticed. First of all, you were 3-0 last week. Nice job.
I noticed that, too. Yeah. I've been telling everybody about it.
Second of all, Jimmy Kimmel Live, nominated for an Emmy.
Right.
And separately, the writers of Jimmy Kimmel Live, nominated for an Emmy. Does that mean that you Cousin Sal could win an Emmy.
Yes, it does actually mean I could win an Emmy.
Does that make the Emmy meaningless now?
Oh, come on now.
It's just a question.
I was 3-0 last week.
They're not going to give you an Emmy for your NFL picks.
I was 3-0. I'm going to win an Emmy, and Jennifer Aniston let me impregnate her. So it's been a really good week.
It really has been. You can follow Cousin Sal at The Cousin Sal. He also does a column for Grantland.com. He is one of the writers for Jimmy Kimmel Live, and Jimmy is his cousin, and last week he was 3-0. Let's talk NFL picks for this week. Who you got?
Well, you know, the Buccaneers play the Patriots, and Kevin, you're going to hate this one, but it seems ridiculous, and it was once sacrilegious to bet against Tom Brady's offense, especially against the fourth place at a division opponent at home. But the Patriots aren't ready to blow anyone out yet. I think it's going to take a few weeks for Brady to get in sync with these rookie receivers.
They look kind of weak. I agree with you. They look weak.
You just keep waiting for them to score, and it doesn't happen. And the Buccaneers, it seems like a walkover, but they have like one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and put him on the speedy white guy, Edelman, and it's going to be another long day for the Patriots. This one's close and low scoring. I say frustrating, yes, without the R, game for the Patriots. I give them a one-point win, 20-19. Take Tampa and the 7 points.
So you're picking Tampa, but you think the Patriots will win the game straight up, but just not by enough.
Yeah, just take the points. Don't worry about it.
All right, that's the first one. The Giants?
See, now this is the one. I hate going with the popular pick. It's one of the things that bothers you about me the most, Kevin.
But it does.
Everyone's jumping on the Giants bandwagon in week three. This line started at Carolina giving 3 points, and the public bet heavy on New York. The spread is even now. The Giants could be favored by a couple points before kickoff on Sunday. I don't think either of these teams is good. I do think the Panthers have quit on their coach, Ron Rivera. There's mumblings he could get fired during the bye week next week. I actually think he gets canned during the coin toss this week. I don't think they waste any time.
They fire him just before the game.
That's it, yeah. Turn in your flag, you're done. The masses are asses. I'm amongst the masses. I say 27-21 Giants. It's a pick 'em over the Panthers.
All right, so the Giants over the Panthers, and then the Denver Broncos, who seem like they are unstoppable.
And I don't understand the spread at all. You know, the Seahawks, I'm not picking this game, but the Seahawks are favored by 20 over the Jaguars. It's one of the biggest spreads in recent memory. But the Broncos, who score by accident, are only 16-point favored over the Raiders.
Hey, Sal, I'm not a gambler as much as you are. I don't quite understand the line. Is the line basically just set by who's betting on what, and then it changes based on the bets?
Yeah, there's like a bunch of like 7 or 8 really smart guys that get together, and they put out a number that's supposed to encourage equal betting on either side.
Oh, equal betting. Okay.
Right. Yeah, but I don't know why this is only 16. It seems low to me. Did I miss a report? Is Peyton Manning playing left-handed this week?
I believe he's playing in normal with his right hand, yes.
It's right-handed. Yeah. Bo Jackson hasn't returned to the Raiders' backfield?
I hope not. He's pretty old.
He is an old guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's early in the season. One thing we know is the Raiders are on the crappy side, as they usually are, and the Broncos are really, really effing good. They beat the Raiders last year by an average of 31-10. This one's over. You don't even have to watch. 40-17. Take the Broncos.
Wow.
-16 over the Raiders.
It's tough for you to take a 16-point spread, isn't it? I mean, that's a tough spread to cover, because when a team gets that far up, sometimes they quit. They don't really have to work that hard.
They could sit everyone in the fourth quarter, but I think they'll have like 40 going into the fourth quarter.
All right, so Bucks +7, Giants over the Panthers, and Broncos take the Broncos with the spread. And Sal might win an Emmy on Sunday night. And
I'm still betting Jon Stewart at even odds.
So oh, you are? Yeah. All right, I'll take that act. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52. Wanted to bring up just an announcement about a possible way that you can help. You remember Caitlin Dobro, she lost both arms and both legs.
She had that infection.
She got a meningitis.
Yeah.
Local girl, MMA fighter, went to the gym, came back, next day had meningitis, went to the hospital, 4 months in ICU, and they've been raising money for her to get better and to get prosthetics. And if you gave money, that you've been seeing the emails that they've been sending out about her progress, and she came home from the hospital, she got to see her dog, you know, finally. It's really heartening. And they're having a fundraiser on Sunday. the 22nd from 5 to 8 p.m. They've got comedians and bands, an inspirational guest speaker, raffle and auction items, an art show, and all the proceeds will go to her medical and rehabilitation and prosthetics. So we just wanted to mention this. It's Sunday, September 22nd from 5 to 8 at the historic Huntington Beach High School auditorium at Huntington Beach High School. From 5 to 8, tickets are $10 and all of it goes to the good cause.
That's great.
So if you want to help make a difference, do that. And we'll put up something at krock.com as well to help you out. It's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
You may remember Caitlin was paid a visit by Uncle Jesse himself.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, that's how we found out about it.
That's right.
Because he stopped by and he she was a big fan and he spent some time with her and we caught that news. Then we found out it was a local story and we talked to Caitlin and her mom, and they're just an amazing family. They're just going through such a hard time, and she has such an indomitable spirit. And the whole family's been rallying around her, but now that she has her prosthetic, she does need rehabilitation, and all that costs money. So happy to help the Dobro family raise some more cash.
You watch her and you talk to her, and then you think, if I was in that situation, what would I be like?
Yeah.
And it would, I don't think I would have the resiliency that she had. It's really stunning.
And she's working towards that date with John Stamos, too. He's going to take her to Disneyland once she's up and around. So, if nothing else, help Caitlin, you know, bang it out with John Stamos.
I don't think that's part of the deal.
That's going to happen. Stamos, for God's sakes. You don't go to Disneyland with Stamos and go away unsullied.
Is that right?
For sure. Stamos, he's a stud. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Kanye West continues to impress. This time, the story comes out of the UK. He was set to appear on a British television show when the demand started pouring in. Producers were met with such demands as rebuild the set. I don't like the set.
Rebuild the set of the show?
Yeah. All the dressing rooms backstage, 15 dressing rooms were located at the studio. He wanted over half of them. He wanted 8 of them, despite the fact that Kings of Leon and Sting were also in the bill. They might like a few dressing rooms as well.
Wow.
When he got to the dressing room, he said he wanted all of the furnishings to be replaced with white, and the walls had to be repainted white as well. And the carpet of the dressing room needed to be ironed.
What a dumb douchebag.
I'm sorry, no. I can't take that seriously.
Why not?
Because nobody would say that and mean it.
You cannot be an artist of his caliber and sit in a room with a wrinkled carpet, Kevin. You just can't
iron the carpet? I mean, yes. That's a punchline to a joke. There's no way that's human behavior.
You don't know, man.
I don't. I'm just guessing.
Go sell your sausage somewhere else. I'm Team West.
Iron the carpet.
There is going to be a new miniseries in the works over at NBC based on the life and career of legendary late-night talk show host Johnny Carson. It may be impossible for some of our listeners to comprehend a Tonight Show hosted by anyone other than Jay Leno.
That's true.
But there was a time, boys and girls, when Johnny Carson was the king of late night, and there's going to be an upcoming biography, a book written about him called Carson the Magnificent, an intimate portrait. It's a highlight of his 30 years on late night TV, as well as his childhood and his off-camera life as well. So they're going to make a miniseries based on his life, which I think would be fascinating because this guy was legendarily private. I mean, nothing really about his private life came out until after he passed away. And he had, I think, 4 wives, maybe 5 wives.
Wow.
Most of them named Joanna. It's true. He married like 3 women named Joanna.
Did he make them change their names?
No. You just search them out, I guess.
Did he make them iron the carpet?
And they used to iron the carpet.
Yes, I would like you to get on your hands and knees and iron the carpet.
Oh, it's code.
To many of his wives. Yes, I think he meant pick up a razor. Disney and Jerry Bruckheimer, they are going separate ways for the first time. And I don't know, they worked together for about 24 years, the producer and the studio. Yeah. Of course, they had wild success with the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise and the National Treasure movies. But it looks like The Lone Ranger, the disaster that was that film, may have ended that relationship. Mm-hmm. Daily Variety says Disney has so many different brands now to take care of. Disney, of course, but also their Pixar films and Marvel Comics films and now Lucasfilms with the Star Wars franchise, that they're looking to focus on those. And Bruckheimer was looking to leave his deal to do perhaps some more mature films that would be outside of the stuff that Disney likes to make. So, by all accounts, they are parting as friends. but they will still do two more remaining projects. The Pirates of the Caribbean 5 is still in the works, and a third National Treasure movie. Yes!
I'm more of a Liberty Bell protector. I don't know what else he has left to get, but it'd be cool to see Nick Cage back in that role. And since we're talking politics and national treasures, Selena Gomez, not welcome in Russia, according to the New York Daily News. She was supposed to do two concerts there next week, but they have been canceled because Russia has denied her a visa. Turns out Russia's getting a little squirrely about foreign artists, especially Americans, who do not support the country's anti-gay legislation. If you're not familiar with it, a law was signed by President Vladimir Putin that says that no reference or conversation about gay relationships can be discussed in a public forum, especially not near children. They consider that gay propaganda, they call it.
Wow.
Which is nuts. That's you know, Mom, I really dug chicks, but then I heard this guy talking about gay sex, and now I'm gay. It's right. Weird how it just hit me.
That's just absurd.
Here's the thing. Selena didn't even speak out against it. She was sent a petition by Change.org by LGBT supporters who were asking her to take a stand. They say, look, you're going to Russia. Could you pick up this cause? She hadn't even responded to their request when Russia caught wind of it and then denied her visa. So she's got a Monday night concert in St. Petersburg that had to be canceled. Another one in Moscow on Wednesday has been scrapped.
This poor dude in Moscow.
Selena! Oh, that guy, yeah.
Selena!
Remember?
Miss Gomez, Selena! God damn me!
Yeah, he was very upset.
That guy's going to have to wait a long time.
Very upset when she canceled her trip. Her next gig is September 27th in Dubai. She's going to be playing Dubai. Which means she will likely end up in white slavery. So that's cool.
Not true.
It's all cool. She's going to be a sex slave. It's kind of cool. These stars were all born on today, September the 20th. Sophia Loren is 79 years old today. Gary Cole turns 57. One of my favorite actors. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock and Sun. And also Austin Powers, 46 years old. Ben Shepherd, bassist for Soundgarden, is 45. Bassist for Pennywise, Randy Bradbury, is 49. John Bernthal, the actor who played Shane on The Talking, not The Talking Dead, but The Walking Dead, 37 years old. And Gunnar and Matthew Nelson, bitches.
Baby, I can't live without your love and affection.
I can't spend another night on my own.
That's not good music. Ah, the best. Did you like Nelson?
Ah, I love this song.
Nelson Blue.
Can't live without your love.
That's a poor man's Gunner Bon Jovi Matthew, right there.
Gunnar and Matthew rocked, and they are playing that song as we speak at some state fair somewhere. They are 46 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ralph, you make it? You hanging in there? You going to be
I'm
all right?
I'm good. Right. Yeah, I got a second wind.
All right, just checking on you. Time to talk Emmys. Sunday night is the Emmy Awards, mm-hmm. and we have Mary McNamara from the LA Times. She's the television critic there. You can follow her on Twitter at MaryMacTV or at LATimes.com. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
You're going to guess what's going to happen on Sunday night.
I'm going to guess. That's always very risky.
Yeah.
Although I was right last year. I did say Homeland was going to win, and it did win. And everybody told me I was stupid, but I was right.
I like it. I like that you're hanging on to that a year later.
Mary, some of these shows are saying goodbye this year. It's their final seasons. Will this have an influence on over who gets what, you think?
I don't think. This year, I mean, I guess it's 30 Rock is saying goodbye. Is that what you're thinking of? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe. I mean, that show has gotten so much gold over the years. I don't think Academy members are going to feel like, oh, my God, we got to hurry up and give them something. You know, unlike poor John Hamm, who's been nominated for, you know, what, 7 years and never gotten anything. And, and he's not in his last year, but he's in his second to the last year. And you're sort of going, okay, is he really going to make it all the way without winning an Emmy? That would be weird.
Mary,
you think Cranston will win as they say goodbye to Breaking Bad?
You know, well, they have another. I think they can be nominated next year because split the season in two very wisely. So I don't know. I mean, if there is one show that is going to sweep, which I really hope there isn't a sweep, I think it will be Breaking Bad. I mean, obviously that's what is the show that's on everybody's lips, and it is coming to a close. You know, the week after Emmys, how great is that? So I don't know. I mean, Kevin Spacey is obviously, I mean, that was a tremendous performance. We haven't seen him on television, even though Netflix is not
television.
It's close enough to television.
Exactly, and it's also a way to say, you know, welcome to the world, Netflix. You know, I mean, it's like, so I think that those are the two in that category.
Mary, let me butt in and just ask you this question. Are the Emmy voters supposed to be taking all this into account? You know, like, oh, this guy hasn't won in so many years or whatever. Are they really supposed to be?
I don't know what supposed to is about. And I mean, I have this argument with my fellow, like, sort of Emmy pundits. And, you know, everybody's like talking about, well, what was the, you know, every, they send out an episode and that's what the Emmy voters are supposed to judge on. But I mean, it's not like it's a movie. I mean, television is an accumulation of performance. And
right.
So I think that people do take that into consideration. I mean, the Academy members are also watching television, so I think that there are, and they are actors and directors and writers, and so they can be like, okay, well, this episode maybe isn't my favorite, but I remember that other one, and it was so terrific. So,
yeah.
I don't know. And yes, politics, you know, of course, everybody, you know, it plays a part in every award.
There are six nominees in the Best Drama category. Are you surprised, as I was, that Orphan Black is not in there?
You know what? I am not surprised that Orphan Black was not in the Best Drama category. I am surprised that she was not nominated because she was absolutely fabulous and against all odds. Because I remember when I got this screener thinking, oh my God, here we go. Every season we have somebody playing more than one character.
Right.
It's almost always dreadful.
It's the Eddie Murphy syndrome.
Fabulous.
And you go, yeah, she was great.
She was fabulous, but you know what? Science fiction has such a hard time at all the awards, you know, whether it's the Oscars or the Emmys. Science fiction and fantasy and those kind of genre films. I mean, The Walking Dead was not nominated for anything, which is just absolutely outrageous.
That's insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, you do sort of have these weird little prejudices that, you know, The Lord of the Rings notwithstanding still are in play.
And BBC America is sort of on the fringe of television.
It is. And I guess, you know, I would, if Orphan Black, I think there was enough outrage expressed when she was not nominated. Although that lead actress category, they're six too. And I wouldn't, who would you take out? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
Just so much good TV right now that it's almost impossible to narrow it down.
Do you think there are going to be any big surprises?
There's always a big surprise.
What's it going to be?
I'm hoping, you know, Vera Farmiga in the lead actress. I love her performance. I think she's kind of a dark horse. You know, Homeland could come back. That's not considered, you know, people are talking about Breaking Bad. They're talking about House of Cards. Homeland could come back and sweep again or win again. You know, you just never know what they're going to, you know, if Kerry Washington wins that, although I don't know that that would be surprising anymore, but like that show, as popular as it is not considered like a prestige drama. It's a very popular drama. So if she won, that would be, you know, that would be a surprise, or not a surprise, but worth talking about.
What do you think about Best Comedy Series? It always seems like that for me is the most sort of divisive of all the categories each year.
Well, I guess everybody's waiting to see if Modern Family will win again, which
yeah.
will put it in tie for, I forget what, it's not a record breaker, but it's close to a record breaker. I mean, I would like to see, you know, Louis win. I think, you know, he's been getting some awards and people are recognizing that is like kind of a groundbreaking show. It would be really great if the show won.
Do they give Emmys though for groundbreaking as much as they do? like for example, Modern Family is a complete, just, it's for everybody. It's hits the ground running. It's really strong. And Louis C.K. might be a little more niche.
Yes, absolutely. No, absolutely. And there's a part of me that I, you know, I like Parks and Recreation. That's my, you know, I love that. I wish Amy Poehler would win for in the lead comedy category. But yeah, I don't, you know, I think with Modern Family, when it started, it was not, it was kind of a groundbreaking show because having those multiple storylines, it came at a time when people were saying that the family comedy was dead. You know, I mean,
right.
So now it's like in hindsight, it's like, oh yeah, that's a typical show. And Louis is the niche show, but Modern Family was not a niche show because it was on a big four, you know, network. But again, it's like things change and it is kind of like watching the cycle of television and you see part of what the Academy likes to do is reward people that have shifted the conversation. I mean, you know, you see Girls nominated in a lot of categories.
Right.
You know, this is not a show that anybody watches, basically. But it's very influential and they, you know, and the Academy wants to acknowledge that and also, you know, that the, again, it's outstanding, you know, performance or drama or whatever.
It is funny now to watch how many family sitcoms have appeared on the fall schedule for all the major networks following the success of Modern Family.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Everything is family this season. Everything is family. A lot of dads, a lot of fathers. That's a very big deal. Yes.
I know that you said you hope there's not a sweep. I hope there is a sweep, and I hope it's with Breaking Bad. I hope that gets the – I think that show has been just building to a great crescendo all season. It just hasn't missed. And well, Bryan Cranston, I hope, wins. I hope Anna Gunn wins. I hope it really just kills.
Well, I think if there is a sweep, I think it will be that sweep. And I agree that certainly Vince Gilligan deserves an Emmy. He has never won one for writing, which is kind of absurd. The show has never won Best Drama, which is kind of absurd. So, I mean, I think that that's something we can look for.
All right, Mary McNamara, thank you very much for talking to us today. We appreciate it. We'll see if you're right on Sunday, and then we'll talk to you a year from now when you can tell us whether you were or not. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye now. Omar is in the studio with us, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning.
Yes.
And
podcaster Omar Khan.
That's right. Thank you.
I love Omar
thank you,
because he's one of the few people that is as fascinated with the Armenian comedian as I am.
And every week I'm falling more in love, Ralph and Kevin,
You are a rare breed.
I couldn't love him more. I don't even understand where a guy like that gets that level of confidence, but I love he's a 10 on 11 on the confidence level and a 0 on the talent level, and you put those two together.
Like, he's like in the negative.
I love that. And you started doing a podcast with Sam, the Armenian comedian.
Right. This is the second one, and I decided that every show we're going to need a new intro.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to go and pull the other intro. It's too much work. I want to keep the work level for me as low as possible.
Hey, you're doing us a favor by spending an hour with
him
or however long you're...
So this week's intro is magic.
Hey, what's happening, folks? This is Sam, the Armenian comedian, Variety Podcast Show. Wow! Welcome, everybody. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, Omar. Does he not realize that the music is fighting him for attention?
He doesn't realize anything in life, dude. What do you think?
From you. Yeah.
He finally gave in to the music.
Yep, the recorder solo.
He's a musical genius, right, Ralph?
He has a recorder like you had when you were in second grade.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to tell the people that, you know, for K-Rock, for the Kevin Bean Show, we have to edit the clips down. The podcast itself, it's about 30 minutes long. Do yourself a favor and check it out because it's way better in long form. Because the bits that I'm going to play you are, I mean, I had to edit them down. They go on forever. And Sam just does whatever I ask.
Whether you like him or hate him, it is fascinating to hear Omar just twist, just stab him and just... drive him crazy.
Manipulate him.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
so
awesome.
The one thing I did edit one thing. He does like a 5-minute chunk on backgammon.
On what?
That's what he kicks off the podcast with. Backgammon. That's what it starts off with. So I had to edit that out because I don't want to torture the listeners that much.
But if they go long form, they get back in it.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you do go to the podcast and you listen to it, Sam does give out his phone number in the podcast.
Does he?
Yeah.
Really?
So if you guys go download it, you guys could give him a call, suggestions.
Where is it available?
It's available at KevinBean or KROQ.com.
Okay, there you go.
So he works at a beauty salon. So I ask him this question.
Do you do the facials?
Yeah, I do.
I could give you a facial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Would you like that? Know what I mean?
He doesn't.
What?
You don't know what I mean?
No.
Okay, let's just move on.
Okay.
So Sam thinks it's a great idea to do balloon animals on radio.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, backgammon and balloon animals?
Dude, this podcast is... I'm sorry, Ralph. We're going to put HBO... out of the map.
Oh, that's too bad.
You guys out of the water.
Sam is Mr. Clown. He likes to put clown makeup on and go to children's parties. And
he's terrifying.
We got a tweet from somebody that saw him in a mall making balloon animals and said it was just pathetic.
And I thought it was the best thing ever.
So Omar says, bring your balloon animals. This will be great for the podcast.
Along with every balloon animal, he has a story to tell. This is him making a balloon animal that's supposed to look like Mickey Mouse, but this is a story.
This is Mickey Mouse. He ate so much cheese, became that color.
I don't know what that means, Sam.
What is happening?
Okay.
And by the way, his balloon animals, I'd give you $1 million if you can identify what they are.
Yeah. I'll tell you what they look like, okay? So he goes. It takes him about a full minute to make a balloon animal. I mean, he goes on forever, and there's no editing in the podcast.
Right.
You hear him going through it. So finally, when he's done with the Mickey Mouse one, this is what happens.
This looks like a dog, Sam. It doesn't look like a Mickey Mouse.
It is Mickey Mouse.
Let's do another one.
So
let's do another one.
So as soon as he's done with one, I pop it instantly. So we do like six different ones, but I just keep popping them over and over.
Does he not see that coming when you say start again? Does he not see, like, after you pop the first one, does he think you won't pop the second one?
Does he not know you?
You would have popped him all day
absolutely.
Long.
Absolutely. I have no idea what goes on through his head, but he did bring a kazoo with him this time.
Sweet.
Okay. So he starts playing the kazoo, and I tell him, I'm like, dude, you should kazoo and beatbox at the same time. This is what he comes up with.
Sounds like he swallowed the kazoo.
That is a great use of podcast time.
I'm telling you, dude, this guy is really fascinating. So I thought it'd be great to have him crank call people.
Wait, Sam's going to prank call people?
Exactly.
Okay.
So I decided we're going to call Beer Mug.
Okay.
So Beer Mug automatically knows it's Sam. Okay, so but he kind of plays along or whatever, and for some weird reason, Sam goes on this rant.
Why you call yourself Beer Mug then? That means you are always on like a little baby boy. Nom, 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 beer, I need a beer. Oh, Beer Mug, where's my mug? Where's my beer? And you're going to check
Sam,
out
Sam, let me interrupt you here. This isn't much of a prank call. He knows who you are. That was not good, Sam.
Wait, does he know what a prank call is?
I don't. Well,
has he ever heard of a prank call?
We do another one. I have one clip, and then we're going to get to another prank call.
Okay.
The prank call Dave is pretty funny. I don't know, dude. The guy is clueless. But I don't know why he decided to go on that rant. And he really thinks through the entire thing that he's killing it.
Right. Oh, that's the beauty of him.
He's killing it. He thinks he's the funniest thing ever, for sure.
If you don't see it in person, it's hard to imagine anyone with that much belief in what they're doing.
It's insane.
He's slaying.
And of course, in every podcast, we have to include a song, so this is a song we include.
I think that sounds good, Sam.
Thank you.
What's the song called?
It's called About Sex.
It goes on. That's like a 2-minute
chunk. This is Omar popping the balloon again. He asks him to sing a song, and then he plays sound effects all over.
That's the best. Again, if you download the podcast, Sam does include his phone number in the podcast. It's kevinmeanerkrock.com. You got to go download it and then crank call Sam. So we decided to crank call Dave, but Dave doesn't pick up because he didn't recognize the number, so he gets routed to the programming department here, the kids here.
Okay.
Okay.
So the phone ops that work here at K-Rock.
Exactly. Okay. So this is what happens.
Crank call him good, though. Yeah. Crank call him good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Programming, this is Guillermo.
David, please.
Stop it right there.
Oh.
So what he does is, because he doesn't change his voice, what he does is he puts his hand over his mouth and he's like, David, please. So the phone up can't understand him. Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Oh, who is this again?
David, please.
Who is this?
This is Crank Calling.
Who is this again?
Crank Calling.
Wait a minute. Wait, he tells him that this is crank calling?
Can't come up with a name.
He says this is crank calling.
He says this is crank calling.
How is that possible that that ever happened?
That's the most literal crank call ever. I'm crank and I'm calling.
Oh, David, please.
Oh, who is this again?
David, please.
Who is this?
This is crank calling.
Who is this again?
Crank calling.
If you can take it, we would suggest downloading the podcast.
Just download this week's to get his phone number and call him. Seriously.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10. Ralph Garman is here for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
You think you got problems?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We do.
Well, try being Dina Lohan.
Ooh.
No.
Yeah. Great story from TMZ.com. It's bad enough she got popped for a DUI. Maybe she just put a lawyer on retainer because now the bank has filed a lawsuit to foreclose on her home.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, Dina has been behind on mortgage payments for years, but now it has reached critical mass and she will lose that house if she doesn't do something. I smell a sex tape.
I smell no one buying it.
What else could she do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. Speaking of money,
Forbes magazine once again, releasing their lists. This time it's a list of the past year's highest paid celebrity couples by Forbes magazine. Here are your top five. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West pulled in $30 million over the past year together. That seems low for me. I thought Kanye would be earning more than
me
that.
Me too.
But I guess not, which makes me a little bit happy. Yeah, I'm happy he's only making $30 million
in 1 year.
Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis edged out the West Kardashians with $35 million. Then Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt with $50 million. Gisele Bündchen and Tom Brady, $80 million. And Beyonce and Jay-Z at number one with $95 million over the past year.
How are they going to make ends meet?
Gosh,
they got a lot of kids to feed, yeah.
I hope they put something away for a rainy day.
Yeah.
The E! Network has announced it has pulled the plug on Ryan Lochte's reality show. What would Ryan Lochte do? It turns out Ryan Lochte would get canceled after one season. That's what Ryan Lochte would
do. The answer is nothing.
Yeah, they used to have to manufacture stuff for him to do on that show, and it was all so forced and awkward, but it's finally put it out of its misery. Speaking of forced and awkward, when it comes to reality shows, let's not pretend they're reality shows anymore, shall we?
Okay.
Instagram pictures from the Kardashian house where they have it all decorated for Christmas.
Oh, they're shooting the Christmas episode
they
now?
They shoot their Christmas episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians to air at Christmas time. So it's not even Halloween yet, and they're celebrating Christmas at the Kardashian house just so they can get their fake reality show on television.
They're going to have like a tree and gifts and everything and open them up. And
you see the photographs of them. Wow. It's all decorated, and the tree's up, and the presents are there, and they're good to go. That show. I don't even think she had a baby. I think the whole thing was just fake. It was a pillow. There's a pillow under her shirt. And then they just, I don't know.
Nothing real there.
They just found some kid somewhere. Jerry Bruckheimer and Disney are getting divorced. The two have been together for 24 years doing blockbuster films together. Most notably, I guess, would be the Pirates of the Caribbean series. But now Disney and Jerry Bruckheimer have decided not to renew their deal when it expires next year. Disney will instead focus on its own branded franchise films like the Pixar, Marvel, and now Lucasfilm Star Wars franchises. Meanwhile, Bruckheimer will go his own way to make more adult films, he said, things that Disney perhaps wouldn't have the stones to release.
Is he known for that type of movie? Because I don't think so.
He used to be.
Did he?
I mean, Bruckheimer back in the day, especially when he was partnered with Don Simpson, his producing partner, they would put out more sort of hard... certainly more hard action, R-rated action, and more sexy films. And he's become considerably softer over the years with his work in television and now with Disney. They're still getting together on a fifth Pirates of the Caribbean film and a third National Treasure movie, however, so we have that to look forward
to.
Yeah. I'm looking for the Constitution. You know what it is? Today's celebrity birthdays. All these people were born on today, September the 20th. Actress Sophia Loren is 79 years old today. Gary Cole. One of my favorite character actors of all time.
I love him, too.
You don't.
I do. I love him.
He was the guy. We had him on the show.
Yep.
And I talked about his resume and all the great work
Play the tape. I don't believe you.
And then I said, here he is, Gary Cole. We all applauded. And Kevin said, you're a guy who, I don't know your name. After I'd said, this is Gary Cole. That happened.
That didn't happen. You're making that up.
Exact quote.
You're making
word for word.
Randy Bradbury of Pennywise is 49 years old today. Good day for bassist Ben Shepherd. Bassist for Soundgarden is 45. Kristen Johnston, she was from Third Rock from the Sun and also the Austin Power film, 46 years old. John Bernthal, who was Shane on The Walking Dead, 37 years old. And Gunner and Matthew Nelson of Nelson.
That's all you get. That's a terrible song.
Come on.
That's a terrible song.
I can't spend another night on my own. I give up my pride. Save it from being alone. Can't live without your love. So
no.
Flowing
no.
blonde
no.
hair. Long blonde hair rocking out on stage.
No.
They come from a long line of rock stars. Ricky Nelson was their dad.
No.
Matthew?
No!
They're 46 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. You won a pair of tickets to see Stryker at that damn mud run.
I did?
No, not you. I'm saying to the listener.
Oh,
If you'd like this, it's October 12th at the Santa Fe Dam. Visit www.thatdammudrun.com for full details, or you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Have a great weekend, everybody. Ralph, we'll see you back in the town.
Yes, you will.
On Monday, we'll see everybody at the Red Bull Flutog in Long Beach.
Enjoy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
No! No!
Pass it over to me.
Marijuana, cannabis sativa.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's a groovy way of relaxing, opening your senses.
Roll another one.
I love weed, okay? I love it.
Just like the other.
Now's the time to introduce the joints.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
These guys need to turn those frowns upside down. And I got just the thing for that. We call it Doobie Snacks.
You are high as a height.
Roll.
Blast a joint.
This one seems to be about to.
Now it's time to get super duper high.
I don't have another cent.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what are you guys up to?
Oh, a little weed, you know.
We are not very functional when we're high, which is all the time.
Just pass it around.
It's like Cypress Hill concert in here.
I love weed, okay? I love it.
Well, what did everybody think?
Ah, that stunk.
Worst episode ever.
I'd like to thank you all for being here. I'd like to thank my guests. I'd like to thank the greatest audience in the world. I'm out.
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
I need meat.
You're a quitter. Only fools quit.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.
Excellent.